First John, chapter 2. In 1 John 2, beginning at verse 17, to the end of chapter 2 into chapter 3, John deals with two issues, the future and the fellowship. And concerning the future, there are two words that he uses. One is Antichrist. He says, we know that Antichrist is coming, the Antichrist. But then he also has another word in verse 28, which is where we're going to pick up tonight. So let's begin at 1 John 2:28. That word of the future is appearing. Concerning the fellowship, he uses the word anointing, the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And concerning the fellowship, he uses the word abiding. So the future, Antichrist, appearing. Concerning the fellowship, anointing, and abiding. Let's pick up at verse 28, shall we? To read to chapter 3, verse 3. If we say, sorry, wrong one. Good truth. Just the wrong passage. Give me a second. There we go. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, we lift before you this evening service. We thank you for the time in your word. Be our teacher. Open our heart, eye, and ear tonight together that we would behold wondrous things out of your law in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My brother-in-law was found in his home. He had passed out. My sister took him to the hospital. And he'd been in ICU, I think, since either Wednesday or Thursday. And so this afternoon, my sister actually yesterday was having to deal with the question, do we or do we not unplug the respirator? Today they did. He was discovered to be brain dead earlier this afternoon. And later this afternoon, about 4:30, we got the word that he had slipped away into eternity. So thank you for praying. Please pray for Cindy and her family. And at this time, thank you for doing so. In the days in which we live right now, have you met people that are anxious, frightened, hopeless? Dear ones, here is where you and I who know Jesus Christ can really be an encouragement to others. We get to point them to him. Notice this in verse 3. He who has this hope in him, capital H, not just that I have the hope in my heart, but I have my hope in him. And what is that hope? Paul calls it a blessed hope in Titus 2:13. This hope is the hope of the return of Jesus Christ in the air for us. That hope. And dear ones, you and I, in the midst of a generation who are going through a global pandemic, have hope. And that is exactly what the world is in short supply of. They look for hope in the wrong place. For example, have you ever seen in your feed for email, this investment guaranteed to protect you from any downturn in the economy? And you click on it and it's gold. Gold! Guaranteed! Well, before the pandemic, gold was at over $1,600 an ounce. About $1,600 an ounce. Today it's dropped over $150 an ounce, down on 14, I think it's 1455, 1456, something like that. So much for not having to worry about having anything impact you in the midst of an uncertain future. Look with me at 1 John 2, 28-33. What is the hope that you and I have? There are three words John uses to describe the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three. Note them with me in verse 28. First two are right there. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears. There's the first term that is used to describe the return of the Lord Jesus. Appearing. Second word, revealed. Third word is coming. Notice that. Appearing, coming in verse 28, revealed in verse 2. So there's the three words that are used to describe the hope you and I have. Stop right here. May I just remind you of something, that our hope in the return of Jesus Christ is not escapism. It is not escapism. We're not just waiting to try and get away from any kind of problem, persecution, anything like that. What is it? Our hope in him is the fact that we go to be with him. We're separated from him. Peter put it this way, whom having not seen, you love. We're going to see him as he is. One of my favorite characters, Christian characters, is Fanny Crosby. Now, it's fascinating to me. What do you know about Fanny that was really unique about her? What was her physical malady? What was her condition? She was blind. Yeah. She was 6 weeks old when the wrong poultice was put on her head, and that poultice left her blind at 6 weeks of age. She never saw. From the time that she was an infant until she went home to be with the Lord at the ripe old age, I believe, of 95. She was in her 90s when she went home to be with the Lord. Fanny had a fascinating view of life. A lady said to her, Fanny, I feel so bad for you. You've never seen the beauty of a rose or a sunrise or sunset. I feel so bad for you. And Fanny responded, I feel bad for you. Because you see, when I get to heaven, the first person I'm going to see is Jesus. She had the right perspective, friend. She had the right perspective. He's far better than a rose. He's far better than a sunrise and a sunset. And it's fascinating to me because in one of her hymns, Fanny writes these words. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. She had 20/20 spiritual vision. If she couldn't have 20/20 physical vision, she had her eye, she had her heart in the right place. Her heart was on the Lord. And dear ones, can I remind you tonight? This pandemic did not catch God by surprise. This pandemic did not and is not bigger than God. And dear ones, God wants to use it to draw us to Him, and He wants to use us to touch others. What is our hope? Our hope, plainly put, is that Jesus Christ is coming again. This world is not our home. This world doesn't have hope. But we do. They may mock us. There were three panelists on a CNN newscast. Don Lemon and two others. And they were making fun of Trump supporters. Like we were ignoramuses, buffoons. And yes, our Bibles and our guns. And they were calling us fools. Rather be God's fool, my friend, and have hope, because they don't. Sidebar. When does hope really kick in? When does it really kick in? It kicks in when life kicks in, folks. It kicks in when I'm diagnosed with an ailment or an illness. It's very serious. I have hope in Him. I'm not hopeless. I have hope in Him. It kicks in when you have a pandemic and the world is frightened, buying up of all things toilet paper. We have hope. I was preaching on the return of Jesus Christ at a church Sunday evening, just like this. And in that service, I said, our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. The next Sunday when I was at the church, a couple came up to me and said, we've got to talk to you about your sermon last Sunday night. And that's usually never good. But in this case, it was wonderful. They said, last Sunday night, you said our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. Monday, my husband's mom went home to be with the Lord. She died. And the first words that came to our minds were your words. Our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. And they said, how could we weep? How could we weep? Mom's home. Mom's home. See, folks, that's when it's real. That's when it's real. It's in my heart. In Him. My hope is in Him. And dear ones, because we love Him, we want to be with Him. I want to show you something in John 17. Keep your finger in 1 John 2. Look at me at John 17. I believe that Jesus wants to come back for us, my friend, more than we want Him to come back. And here it is in John 17. Look with me at verse 23. In His high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now here it is. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Underscored that word in verse 24. I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me. There it is, my friend. I desire that those you gave me, that's us, my friend. That's us, not just the disciples. He says that others are going to believe on him through their word. Dear ones, that's us. We are longing for his coming, not to escape. We are longing for his coming to go be with him. And how long will we be with him? Forever. That's why Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, on your way back to 1 John 2, stop there with me, please. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at me at verse 18. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, concerning our hope, Paul writes, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let's read that the way it often unfolds in today's world. Wherefore, club one another with these words. Dear ones, God did not put the hope to be a discussion, a debate. He put it there to be a comfort. That word comfort right there is the same word Jesus uses in John 14, 15, and 16 to describe the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. And so, dear ones, you and I have a hope that is living, that is real, that is sufficient, and that the world absolutely needs, especially at this moment. When you're walking outside, it's like, I don't feel threatened. I don't feel like there should be an issue. But there is. There is. And the issue is an illness. Sidebar. There is a far greater condition. There is a far greater enemy, and that's called sin. And folks, every single person is infected with it. No one escapes that one. Out of 7 billion people, 7 billion people have it. I just saw this afternoon almost 300,000 globally have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. 300,000 out of 7 billion. Might be 8 billion, but 7 billion plus. The majority of those people, folks, have no hope. They have no hope. When we first lived in West Bloomfield the first time, there was a couple across the street. They had three boys. Their oldest son was involved in a single car accident. He was killed. And on the day of his death, Dad put a reminder, some kind of a mark on the marker, coat, something like that, to identify that they were in mourning on their front door. When I went over to them, I read the Word of God for them. And they said, "Can you give that to us? That is so comforting, so helpful. Can you give that to us?" And I said, "Do you have a Bible?" "No, we don't." My dear friend, a lot of people out there today, right now, just like that, who because of a pandemic are frightened, unsettled, uncertain. Everything they thought was permanent. Look at how, just one example, when the pandemic hit and the stock market went from nearly 30,000 points down to 19,000 points on a panic. Panic! My dear friend, you and I have hope beyond this life. Our hope is in Him. Notice what John says. When He appears, dear ones, there is something far more certain than the coronavirus. You may or may not get it, but here is something far more certain. Number one, this is certain. He's coming again. CBS can't stop it. ABC can't stop it. NBC can't stop it. MSNBC can't stop it. BBC can't stop it. UN can't stop it. He's coming. And praise God, He's coming for me. And He's coming for you if we know Him. And dear ones, that is our hope. That's our hope. And why are we looking for Him? Because He said He would come. That's what He said. John 14, 1-3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Sidebar, He is our heavenly bridegroom. Don't you just love talking to newly engaged couples? How long before the wedding day? 232 days! Really? Meet them a little while later. How long before the wedding? 110 days. A while later, how long? 42 days. They're counting down the day until they get to be together. My dear friend, Jesus Christ is counting down the days when you and I get to be with Him. And we will be with Him forever. Our hope is in Him. The certainty of our hope is that He's coming again. When He appears, underscore that in verse 28. When He appears, we'll be like Him. Now, there are two ways that we can face Him: prepared or unprepared. Are you prepared tonight? If He were to come, are you ready? He says, because, notice that in verse 28 of 1 John. Go with me to 1 John 2 now. We're in 1 Thessalonians. Let's go back to 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, John writes, that we could be ashamed before Him at His coming. We have the option of being confident or ashamed. Which do you want to be tonight? Which do you want to be tonight? Confident or ashamed? That is coming. It is more certain than the coronavirus, friend. He's coming again. That is our hope. Now, look with me at verse 1. John moves. And because we are in Him, if you know that He who does righteousness is righteous. John moves on now to chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Exclamation point. The hymn writer put it like this, that God should love a sinner such as I, how wonderful is love like God has made us children of God. Look at verse 2. He continues. The certainty of His coming. Now in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we will be, but we know that when He is revealed, we will be like Him. Not only is there the certainty of His coming, here indeed is the fact that there will be an impact of His coming. What's the impact of His coming? We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. That we will not all sleep. That is, die. What is the way to escape death? There is only one way to escape death, friend. One. Return of Jesus Christ. While we're still alive. If He comes while we're living, we don't taste death. I want to cheat the undertaker, okay? I want to cheat him. I want to be alive when Jesus comes. Can you imagine? You're walking down the street and instantaneously you're no longer on the street. You are in the heavens and you are with Him. Now, Paul says this mortal puts on immortality. I won't have to worry about diets anymore. Mortal puts on immortality. Weakness puts on power. Temporal puts on eternal. We get a new body, folks. That Sunday, when that couple told me, I've got to talk to you about your sermon last Sunday night, had another man who came up to me same Sunday, just a few minutes apart. And he said, I've got to talk to you about your sermon last Sunday night. He said, it brought such hope and comfort to me. Because he said, we had a loved one who was killed in action over in Iraq or Afghanistan, one of the two. Killed in the military. Action. And when we got his casket, there was a note on the casket, do not open. Do not open. Your message brought us such hope and comfort. It gave me comfort. Because now, my loved one's in heaven. And he's got a whole body when he awaits the permanent changing it does not yet appear what we shall be. My dear friend, God is still working on you. He's working on me. But one day, we are going to be seen as we really are. Children of God. And we'll rejoice in what God did in your life. You're going to rejoice in what God's doing in me. And together we're going to reflect the glory of God. And we'll do it for eternity. Certainty of His coming. The impact of His coming. The purifying hope of His coming. Verse 3. He who has this hope in Him. My hope is in Him. I've always taken that to be my hope is in me. But that Him is capitalized, folks. That Him is Jesus. He who has this hope in Jesus, the impact of His coming, the certainty of His coming, looks at the consequence of that hope. I will live in light of His return. Because I want to be prepared, not ashamed, at His coming. Oh, dear ones, you and I living in these days of a pandemic globally, that people are unsettled, people are uncertain, people are frightened. We've got to help. We've got to help. We can present to them the ultimate hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We can present to them the one who can give them hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a great opportunity. Yeah, it's pretty frightening. I mean, who wants to get... I don't want to be sick. How about you? But we have a living hope. And that hope is that we are going to see Him one day. There's a dear lady. Her name is Ruth K. Jones, Ruth K, C-A-Y-E, Ruth K. Jones, who wrote a hymn, said, in times like these. And she said, in times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, we need the Savior. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. So, dear ones, may I encourage you tonight. Our anchor holds. It's in Him. And He is coming for us. That is our hope. And one day, we'll be with Him. And Fanny's words will be fulfilled. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. We'll be in that throng. What a day that will be, whenever it is. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until then, when my eyes behold the Savior, until that day, God calls me home. Oh, dear ones, it could be today. But when it comes, be ready. May we be prepared. The certainty of His coming. That hope in Him. Be encouraged tonight. He is our hope. And what a hope it is. Sidebar, as I close. As I was preparing and thinking about today, in the course of our ministry, have been in 30 states with the Friends of Israel, two Canadian provinces, and only two times in the course of 32 years with the Friends of Israel has anyone ever asked me, won't you go longer when you preach? Won't you go longer? Both of those times happened in Canada. One was up in 20, that's what I call it, 25 miles north of the Great Commission. You know, it's the ends of the earth. Okay, it's 25 miles north of that. And we were in that church, and it was in Sault Ste. Marie, actually. And they said, you know, we never hear about prophecy anymore. Won't you go longer? And the other church said, won't you go longer? You see, folks, that hope is real. We want it. We need it. Hope you're hopeful tonight.